Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of February 2015. Happy birthday to my lovely wife, Claire Ann. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett will guide us through the cash grain segment from Channel Seeds, and we'll discuss the weather forecast. We'll also hear all about Darrell Good's 2015 balance sheet. If you haven't heard this for corn, stay with us, pay attention, because it's a really interesting listen as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago now on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower, down 2¾ in the March at $3.83. May at $3.91, down 2¾, and the July at $3.98¼, down 3 cents for the afternoon. September contract at $4.04½, that's down 2¾, and December down 2¼ today at $4.13 from the soy complex. Nearby bean futures for the day are trading at this end of this afternoon at $9.83¾, up 6 cents. May futures at $9.86¾, up 6, and July at $9.91½, up 5¾. November beans at next year at $9.64¼, up 4¼ of a cent for the afternoon. Checking on the rest of that pit, we'll check in on the bean oil for the day. It is currently trading at the bean oil at $32.01, that's up 26 cents, and the bean meal at $3.30.50, 90 cents higher for the day. Soft red winter wheat at $5.21¼, down 4½ cents on the afternoon in the March. July at $5.22½, 4½ lower, and the hard red Kansas City at $5.54, down 5¼ for the day. Live cattle futures finished up at $159.12½, 52½ cents higher in the lead option. Feeder cattle in the March contract at $200.25, $1.50 higher for the day. April there at $200.27½, up $1.57½. And the lean hogs, 70 cents higher at $61.92½. In the energy segment, crude oil is trading at $51.35. It's up $2.51. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Here's what the rest of the outside markets look like at this hour. In the heating oil or diesel fuel, the last trade there at $1.92. That's up 10¾ of a cent. Gasoline futures at $1.59¹, 5¾ higher. And natural gas for the day at $2.71¹, up 7⅞. Ethanol futures at $1.43¹, finished a penny lower on the afternoon. Outside markets show the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,932, 101 points higher. Gold futures around $1,221 an ounce, up $2.25, and the dollar index at 94.205. That's down 0.885 for the day. The weather forecast tells us it's going to be cold, mostly sunny skies, a high of just 21 today. Wind chill values at 4 to 9. North to northwest winds at 11 to 16 tonight. Cloudy, a low of 7 degrees. We'll have wind chill values of below 2 to 9 above. North northwest winds at 11 to 16. And then on Friday, cloudy skies and 27 degrees. Wind chills on Friday will only get to about 2 below to 8 above. Southwest winds at 5 to 13. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of just 21. Southwest winds at 9 to 14. Saturday, a chance of flurries. It'll be partly sunny with a high of 24, blustery on a northwest wind at 15 to 24, and Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of around -1 or 1 below. It'll be cold on Saturday evening. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises is on the phone line to take a look at the futures markets. Thanks, Dan, for taking the time with us. I know you watched the USDA reports earlier in the week and have been watching the charts. What have you seen that you like and dislike?
Well, I think when you look at the broader picture of things, I mean, we had a good bounce right there at the first part of February. And now we're, I think, consolidating those gains and even having somewhat of a setback in here to kind of correct some of the overbought nature of the market. And I think that continues. There's not a lot of new themes in the market. I mean, the general theme in the market is that USA's Ag Forum conference here next week will be talking about smaller corn supplies, larger soybean supplies. But then when you look at today's market, for the last 2 days, corn's been down and beans have been higher. Beans, I think, got a little boost here today, better than expected export sales number. And then there's rumblings of possible strikes in some of the ports in Brazil. So that usually stirs up some short covering, and that's what's taking place. We do see the dollar breaking pretty hard here today after a pretty strong move to the upside during the month of January and early February here. So there's just not a lot to talk about in the market, and when you don't have any underlying themes to excite the market, it just kind of drifts, and I think that's kind of where we're at. Waiting on Ag Forum's numbers and see what everybody's kind of thinking what's going to happen as we go into the growing season. I'm over here at a conference in Peoria. The weather guy pretty much is calling for a pretty average type summer growing season. And if that's the case, we're going to have the markets are going to struggle if we have without some weather adversities to stir up some interest. It's going to be real difficult to get the market to do much.
What kind of balance sheets are you working with for 2015?
Well, I mean, corn, if I think there's been enough talk around that corn acres is going to slip some. And I think if you use more of a trend line type yield of 162 or 163 bushel corn, then you can maybe talk a carry out, you know, down around 1.3 versus the 1.8, 1.9 that we have this year. So that would be generally supportive to corn. Soybeans, you know, if you bump up acres 3 to 4 million, you use a national average yield, maybe around 44 each, you know, you begin to grow ending stocks up to the 500 million bushel area or more, depending upon, you know, what kind of yield and what numbers you want to put on it. And that just really argues that soybeans are real vulnerable as we go down the road, but we also got to keep in mind is that we don't necessarily know what the weather is going to be. We can hear people talk about it until we get actually into the growing season and how quickly the crop goes in the ground, how it goes into the ground, and all this kind of stuff. So there's still time, I think, for weather worries to stir up interest in the market. I look at it from a statistical point of view. The odds still favor that November beans and December corn could still make new calendar year highs yet before the year's out. So I still kind of want to have somewhat of a bullish bias when I look at my cyclical influences, both on the short term and long term.
That's interesting. You would be one of the few. Have you met much resistance from farmers or others when you talk about this with them?
Well, yeah, I mean, naturally you're going to get resistance, but I mean, they got to understand that technical analysis and cyclical analysis is trying to get ahead of the fundamentals before they come, before they are realized. It's to help you get positioned to take advantage of a bullish tilt in the fundamentals. In this case, if the cycles were pointed down, then you would want to get short and take advantage of the down move. But in the way I'm looking at both the intermediate weekly cycles and the longer term monthly cycles is that we are in a window here that price strength can develop during 2014 here, 2015 here, and that would argue that maybe something in the growing season is not going to be ideal, that the crop isn't going to be as large as what all the balance sheets are talking about, or there's going to be another outside influence that would come into play and bring new demand into the market. So one never really knows what those fundamentals will be. But when you look at the monthly reversals that were recorded during October, and actually they were quarterly reversals for corn and soybeans, I still think that argues that we've made some major lows, and the market is waiting for some bullish news to begin to unfold as we go down the road. And the first couple of weeks of February is the worst time in the world to find bullish news. I mean, bullish news will start coming at you probably, you know, into the March and April timeframe if it's going to come.
Yeah, so the acreage report really is the next big thing beyond the Ag Forum next week, which will give us some idea where USDA thinks they're headed. And yesterday, in fact, they released their long-term projections. Those certainly weren't bullish if you managed to look at those for income or price on corn. There was one set of numbers there that was pretty darn disappointing, I suppose, if you were a farmer and you were thinking about price of corn and even the ARC and PLC programs, but they're longer-term averages, so we'll have to see how that plays out. You're in Peoria. Where are you at the moment? What kind of conference are you?
This is the Illinois Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers Conference.
Oh, sure.
And they've got several speakers. They got Dr. Snicky over here. He's going to speak after me tomorrow, so they've got several different interesting speakers, and you know, it's a real good conference.
Yeah, well, good luck. Have fun there. I appreciate you taking the time and talking with us today.
Okay, Todd.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. He's in Peoria at the moment, and will be in at our All Day Ag Outlook, that is, in Covington, Indiana, on the 10th day of March. If you have not purchased your tickets yet, right now would be the perfect time to do it at 217-333-7300, or you can go online to willag.org. Now here's Dave Dickey with a look at today's agricultural news.
USDA says in its long-term projections report that farmers will face 2 years of shrinking income, but cash should increase steadily from 2017 to 2024. Earlier this week, USDA said 2015 net farm income was likely to fall 32% from 2014 to $73.6 billion. That would be the lowest level since 2009. Nearly 300 House members this week are calling on House Speaker John Boehner and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi to pass a long-term surface transportation reauthorization bill. The current surface transportation law expires on May 31st. A Cargill representative told a Senate committee that the meat and poultry industry is losing about $40 million a week as a labor dispute on the West Coast continues. South Dakota Senator John Thune says if ports are not fully opened soon, companies such as Tyson may have to move more meats onto the domestic market. The port labor dispute is becoming a bigger issue on Capitol Hill. Several representatives in a House Agriculture Committee hearing yesterday asked USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and the Obama administration to move more aggressively to intervene in the labor talks. Bunge Limited today says that weakness in the Chinese market drove weaker-than-expected results in the fourth quarter, as sales in its key agribusiness segment decreased 20%. Bunge reported a fourth-quarter profit of $90 million, or 56 cents a share, down from $138 million, or 78 cents a share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. He also puts together the All-Day Ag Outlook, has done another fantastic job for this year. We're scheduled to go live over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the second Tuesday of March. That's the 10th of March. It's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Day. Rarely do we do this on a USDA report day, but this year we are. Should make for a really fantastic program. On hand with us will be more than a dozen of our regular on-air analysts, including Sue Martin, along with Murray Wise to talk about land values, and we'll hear all about livestock from Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. It's just $25. If you haven't picked your ticket up yet, please call this number right now. It's getting time to do it at 217-333-7300 or go online at willag.org and order your ticket from there. Either way, 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. I really look forward to having you over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Tuesday, March the 10th for our All-Day Ag Outlook. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, it's pretty likely there will be fewer corn acres planted this spring. It's clear that farmers and landowners are concerned about the high cost of corn production, and the consequence may very well be a drop in that number of acres sown to the crop. Anecdotal evidence supports the drop. However, factual evidence suggests it may be muted, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
The reduction in corn acres probably will be muted to some extent because we've reduced acreage by nearly 7 million acres over the last 2 years. And also, winter wheat producers did plant nearly 2 million acres less wheat this year than last year. As a beginning point, we might expect about a 1.25 million acre reduction in corn plantings. That would put us at about 89.3 million planted and 81.8 million harvested this fall.
USDA and CBO both have lower planted acreage numbers than Daryl Good. USDA, in its February 11th long-term projection, set it at 88 million acres with a 167.2 bushel to the acre average. CBO is using 89 million acres and 165.8 bushels to the acre yield. There are really two ways to go about figuring yield, states Good in his February 9, 2015 weekly Outlook article posted to the FarmDoc Daily website. This analysis of trend yield and yield under normal weather conditions puts his projection lower than either USDA or CBO.
A yield expectation somewhere around 164 bushels seems reasonable. That would be 7 bushels less than our record yield of 2014. That combination of acreage and yield would produce a crop of 13.4 billion bushels and total supplies of about 15.3 billion, those supplies including carryover stocks.
This total is 170 million bushels less than the amount tallied for the current marketing year. Now, Good expects more corn to be consumed next year than this year, in an amount greater than the total harvest. This, he says, should lead to some small decline in stocks by the end of the marketing year in the fall of 2016. His numbers bump up corn use to make ethanol by 50 million bushels to 5.225 billion, put corn exports at 1.85 billion, and he says the feed and residual number will stay steady at 5.275 billion bushels.
Taken together, then, these projections by category point to consumption of 13.76 billion bushels and year-ending stocks of about 1.54 billion, which would be down nearly 300 million bushels from what we expect this year. In my mind, that would point to a marketing year average price, September 2015 through August 2016 in the very low $4 range. That price is a bit higher than most other projections that we see and is just slightly higher than the price currently reflected by the futures market.
Factually, Darrell Good's 2015 season average price is 50 to 70 cents higher than most other analysts' price projections. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Normally at this hour, we would talk with Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He's in Louisville at the National Machinery Show, probably so deep inside the buildings there that he can't quite get to his mobile phone, or at least the cellular service can't get to his mobile phone. So no worries about that. A couple of things to talk to you about as it relates to upcoming deadlines. The first one is February the 27th for your ARC and PLC program, not decision, but base acre allocation and yield updates. These are not the decisions. Those come later on March the 31st when you have to decide between ARC County, ARC Individual, and PLC. But by the 27th day of February, not too very far along away, landowners and or their tenants, if they happen to have power of attorney, will need to be making a couple of decisions. For those of you in the Midwest with corn bases, this is the way those decisions should probably be made, according to Jonathan Kappas and Gary Schnitke and the rest of the crew in the Ag Policy and Ag Economics section upstairs here in Mumford Hall, where I'm based. They say that on terms of allocation, choose the allocation for base with the most corn acres, and you choose it in this fashion. If you have corn, soybeans, and wheat in that rotation as a choice, look at the old allocation for base and look at the new allocation for base and put it corn first, wheat second, and soybeans last, most likely because over time, farm programs tend to pay the least amount for soybeans. So update to whichever allocation has the most corn acres. And then for yields, and these may not count at all if you're working with our county, but you don't get a chance very often to update your yields. The last time was 2003. Some have not been updated since, I don't know, 1973, and they tend to hang around for a very long time and are used for many farm programs, so it behooves you to update them one way or the other. You're going to update to the highest yields, whether they're the old ones or new ones for corn. So that's exactly what you'll need to do. Update your base acres to the most corn acres. Update your yields to the highest, whether it's old or new. Those are due February the 27th. The second set of decisions are due March 31st. You'll want to wait until you get the county yields from USDA NASS before really deciding on ARC County or PLC. There will be a few that decide on ARC individual. Those will be mostly in wheat growing areas in the Great Plains states, some regions here in the Midwest, but not many. But ARC County and PLC, your decision, look at the county yields first before you make those decisions. We'll have more on the programs, of course, as we go through the Closing Market Report in future days.
It's National Plum Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, Peter Cooper was born. An American inventor and founder of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, he obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1850, William Davis was born. A U.S. geographer, geologist, and meteorologist, he founded the science of the study of landforms. In 1872, Silas Noble and James P. Cooley of Massachusetts patented a toothpick-making machine. In 1877, a news dispatch was sent using Alexander Graham Bell's newfangled invention, the telephone, for the first time in the U.S. It was sent from Salem to the Boston Globe in Boston, a distance of 16 miles. In 1973, the first metric distance road signs in the U.S. were erected between Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio. By the way, as early as 1790, Thomas Jefferson proposed a decimal measurement system similar to the metric system. And in 1976, the popular food coloring red dye number 2 was banned by the Food and Drug Administration because studies had shown it might cause cancer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora is here to take up the weather forecast. He's with T-Storm in Chicago. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time. Looks like we'll have some really cold weather here in our part of the world and across much of the middle part of the Midwest. Can you tell me about it first?
It does look that way. There'll be several rounds of coldness over the next 7 to 10 days. A majority of it focuses on the Corn Belt and points to the east. As you look to the west toward that hard red winter wheat crop out in the plains, temperatures there will vary quite a bit more than they will in Illinois. But we'll see occasional temperatures. It'll be fairly warm out there despite the cold snap. But one thing we'll have to keep an eye on, though, further to the west regards winter till. Temperatures may fall below zero on one or two of the next 7 mornings out in the plains. And if that does happen, it could be a bit of an issue because all the snow is now gone and we do have temperatures that were very warm over the last 5 to 10 days with highs into the 70s and even the 80s last week. So an interesting situation to the west. In the Corn Belt, just cold, and we're just kind of waiting for winter to end and spring to start.
That would be nice if that would happen. On the other hand, in South America, they're in the beginning of a transition period there from summer to fall, relatively speaking, though it takes a bit longer depending on what latitude you're at. Can you tell me about the process?
Well, that is one thing we have to keep an eye on, especially in Brazil. Brazil has a distinct rainy season and a distinct dry season. The rainy season has been underway over the last couple of months, and the transition toward that dry season begins in March, continues through April, and then by the time we get into the middle of May, the dry season is underway. If the dry season were to start earlier than normal this year, that would be a problem for second crop corn because that is being planted right now, and it reaches its key phases of development once we get into April. So that'll be something we have to keep an eye on. At this point, we don't have any real concerns for the dry season beginning early. But again, if it were to begin early, that could become an issue later on. That's about the extent of the issues that we're watching right now because soybean harvesting is beginning in Brazil. And we're also seeing corn planting underway. It could be a little slow here over the next week with some pretty decent rainfall in parts of Brazil. But even down there, we're just kind of in a waiting game to see what the next ball to drop is.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome. Have a great day, Todd.
You too. Of course, that's Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have you picked up your tickets yet for All-Day Ag Outlook? I sure do hope so. But if not, now's the perfect time to do it. Don't forget, you can call in or go online, either one, to pick up your tickets. Just $25. It's the 10th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The phone number to call, 217-333-7300, or go online at willag.org. That's willag.org. And while you're there, why don't you go ahead and sign up for our weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey, our Director of Ag Programming, writes that each weekend. It's a great letter, and it's free at willag.org. Just hit subscribe. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.